Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is our gospel lesson, which is the first 8 verses of the gospel according to Mark. And since we're beginning the gospel of Mark here, I want to share with you 5 facts about the gospel of Mark. Fact number 1, Mark is written by Mark. I know what you're thinking. Wow, Pastor, what great insight. You were really paying attention during your 4 years of seminary. Mark is written by Mark. Who would have thought of that? Well, the Mark that's mentioned here is John Mark, a missionary who accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And he later became a close associate of Peter and was with him in Rome. That's 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us that. So, as a close associate of Peter, many believe that the Gospel of Mark is based on Peter's preaching, so sometimes people call it Peter's Gospel. Fact number 2, Mark is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the Gospel of Mark. It's really the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's written by Mark, but it's really about Jesus. The word gospel means good news. If you're looking for good news, you have come to the right place. When you come to church, you hear the best news of all, that Jesus Christ is your Savior and forgives all of your sins. Mark is, at least by name, nowhere to be found in the Gospel of Mark. And Mark makes it clear from verse 1. This is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Fact number 3. Mark is the shortest gospel. Mark is short and to the point. It is action-packed. It focuses especially on the miracles of Jesus. Historically, Mark's gospel has been represented by a lion. There have been throughout history different symbols for the 4 gospels. Luke being represented by an ox, John being represented by an eagle, Matthew being represented by an angel. But the symbol for Mark is a lion. And it's appropriate because the lion is the strongest of the animals. And Mark's gospel makes it abundantly clear that Jesus is strong and powerful, who has authority to heal the sick, cast out demons. He is, as Genesis 49 refers to him, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So Mark is the shortest gospel, action-packed, straight and to the point. Fact number 4, Mark is written for Gentiles. Christian scholars believe that Mark is written for Gentiles. Specifically, it was written for European Gentiles because Mark wrote it in Rome. And so even more specifically, it was written for Romans. Matthew, by contrast, seems to be written for Jews. Matthew quotes the Old Testament a lot. In fact, there are 96 Old Testament quotations in the book of Matthew. And that's a wonderful feature of Matthew. If you know the Old Testament, that just makes it so much richer. It was written for people who knew the Old Testament. It was written for the Jewish people. Mark does quote the Old Testament, but only 34 times, about one-third as many times. Mark is writing to an audience unfamiliar with the sacred scriptures. Both Matthew and Mark agree in every way. They tell the same history, but how they tell that history is very different, and the audiences they were writing to were different as well. Matthew focused on those things that Jesus's own people, the Jews, would be interested in. Mark focuses, remember, he has a Gentile audience, the Romans. He is writing to share the good news with people not familiar with the Old Testament scripture, not familiar with Jewish customs. And number 5, fact number 5, the main theme of Mark is a question. And the question is, who is Jesus? That's the question every group of people Mark writes about in his gospel is asking. Who is Jesus? Who is this guy? He's like no one else we've ever seen. His enemies ask that question. When Jesus forgives the sins of the paralytic, what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law think in their heart is, who is this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When the crowd see the amazing miracle of Jesus raising this man and healing his paralysis, this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, who is this? We have never seen anything like this. And of course, even his own friends asked that question, his own disciples. When Jesus calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, when the sea became calm, Jesus had commanded the wind and the waves to stop, and they obeyed him. It says the disciples had an interesting reaction. It says the disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Again, who is Jesus? That's the question that the book of Mark is going to answer for us. And it's a question every single person on earth needs to know the answer to. Remember Jesus with his disciples at Caesarea Philippi? Remember the question he asked them? He asked them, so who do people say I am? But then he made it more direct. He talked to the disciples and said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? That's the question that Mark will answer for us. And in true Markian fashion, just like his mentor Peter, he gets straight to the point. The first eight verses answer this question for us very clearly. Mark's gospel begins not with the birth of Jesus, but with the preaching of John the Baptist, preaching about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Well, the first thing to understand is he's not John the Baptist. Let me share with you three differences between John the Baptist and Jesus. John, number one, John preaches the law. Jesus fulfills the law. Now, right after saying Mark doesn't quote the Old Testament very often, in the first three verses we have an Old Testament quotation. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Isaiah the prophet gave that prophecy, and that's fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist. He is the one crying in the wilderness. He is the one preparing the way for the Lord, making a straight path for him. And he does that through his preaching and through his baptizing. John is one of the greatest preachers of all time. He preached, as all preachers do, law and gospel. And when he preaches the law, he really preaches the law. Mark 1:4. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance. I love Matthew 3:7-8. This is the way to start off a sermon. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. You can understand, John was not afraid of confrontation. He took it right to the hypocritical Pharisees and Sadducees. He preaches the law in all its fierceness, in all its power. Now, Jesus, he also preaches the law. And in fact, he preaches the law even more powerfully than John does. But Jesus does more than preach. Jesus literally fulfills the law for us. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. So part of Jesus' mission is active obedience to the law. He himself will put himself under the law and then fulfill that law for us. He's not going to fulfill 90% of the law or 95% of the law or 99% of the law. He's going to fulfill 100% of the law for us on our behalf. That is his active obedience. John preached the law. Jesus fulfills the law. John also preached the gospel. But Jesus is the gospel. So John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Wherever there's law, there also needs to be gospel. Wherever there's repentance, there also needs to be forgiveness. Wherever there's confession, there needs to be absolution. After John's preaching, many people were convicted, and they repented of their sins. And John did not leave them with only law. He's a good Missouri Synod preacher. He urged them right away to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, much like Ananias urged Paul. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. John preached the gospel and baptized for the forgiveness of sins. Now, Jesus, of course, also preached the gospel. He went all through the towns of Judah, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus did much more than preach the gospel. Jesus is the gospel. Mark 1:1. Mark just lays it out again, direct to the point, right away. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just a gospel about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gospel. When he was teaching his disciples, he made the point that he didn't just point the way to heaven, or that he didn't just teach the truth, or that he didn't just share about eternal life. No. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Jesus didn't just point the way to heaven. He is the way. Jesus didn't just tell people the truth. He is the truth. Jesus didn't share about eternal life. Jesus is the life. And through him, we have life everlasting. He is the one and only Savior from sin and the power of death. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So John preached the law. Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf. John preached the gospel, but Jesus is the gospel. And finally, the third difference between John and Jesus. John is a prophet. Jesus is much, much more. When we first meet John, he is a striking figure. He gets your attention right away. I love Mark 1:6, how it describes John. This would get your attention. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. That is quite a diet. You see, he not only sounded like a prophet, he looked like one. Now, that camel's hair clothing and the leather belt around his waist would have immediately reminded the people of Israel about another important Old Testament prophet, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. His name was Elijah. He was dressed the same way. He preached in the desert, much like Elijah did. And, of course, the prophets had predicted that before the Messiah would come, first there would be an Elijah to prepare the way for him. That's what Isaiah is talking about. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Or as Malachi said, a short 400 years before the arrival of John the Baptist, Malachi said, see, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Malachi 4:5-6. This is the Elijah that has been promised. In all of history, John the Baptist is a unique and incredibly important figure. He paves the way for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus gives him, I think, as high a commendation as is possible. Jesus describes him as both the last of the prophets and the greatest of the prophets. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. You cannot get a better reference letter than that. Jesus Christ himself saying, there is no one born of women that has risen greater than John the Baptist. And he is the Elijah, the final prophet to pave the way. As great as John was, his mission in life was to point to someone even greater. John says, after me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. One more powerful. Jesus is the powerful one. Jesus is the strong one who comes with great authority and great power. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has come to deliver his people, and he will do greater works than John. John goes on, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to make one thing perfectly clear. We're talking about baptism here. All Christian baptisms are water baptisms. And along with that, all Christian baptisms are baptisms of the Holy Spirit. That is the promise of Scripture. John chapter 3, verse 5. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Titus 3, 5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the pastor is the one who applies the water, but it is Jesus who baptizes that person with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian baptism is a water baptism and a spirit baptism as well. John is the greatest of the prophets, but Jesus is far, far more than a prophet. Who is Jesus? Mark tells us. He is the Son of God in the flesh. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark wants to make sure everyone who reads his gospel understands this fact. Jesus is the Son of God. As I said earlier, the theme of Mark is to answer the question, who is Jesus? And the answer is that Jesus is no mere prophet. Jesus is no mere teacher. Jesus is no mere good example for us to follow. Jesus is the divine Son of God himself in the flesh, sent to this world to defeat the devil and to save the world. This is announced in the very first sentence of the Gospel of Mark. And then it is announced by God the Father himself at the baptism of Jesus. Mark 1:11 says, a voice came down from heaven, you are my son whom I love, with you I am well pleased. You see, God loved the world so much. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Who is Jesus? Mark tells us in that first verse. God the Father tells us at his baptism. But in the book of Mark, what's interesting is that not one human being confesses their faith in Jesus with those same words until the very end of the gospel, Mark chapter 15. After Jesus has been tried, after Jesus has been tortured, after Jesus has died on the cross for our salvation, we have this magnificent confession of who Jesus is. It is a confession made by a Gentile, a Roman Gentile, a Roman centurion who witnesses Jesus' death and this is his confession. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way Jesus breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Amen.